Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode number 25 of the TV Dads Wrestling Podcast. As always, I am VexX, joined along with your host, Mr. Johnny Zero.
The people's hero, at your service. How's everybody doing out there? You ready for this week?
Johnny, so much has happened. See, previously, at the end of the broadcast, we had, unfortunately, torrential downfalls of rain, which was really sent directly from the sprinkler system and corporal punishment.
Yeah.
Now, since that has happened, I am so pleased to announce that the Bloody Stash crew and the parent company of the Bloody Stash Clothing Company,
the BSC,
has gladly donated these brand new microphones for us to speak into.
Oh my belief.
A new mixing system and a recording apparatus, because we were, unfortunately, everything that was given to us by the TV Dads Wrestling Federation was destroyed in the water melee.
Yes, but that's probably because of what's coming up with the TV Dads Wrestling, the NWA, so to speak, of the territory system of the TV Dads Wrestling Alliance. Now, we can't let that affect our journalism, my friend.
Can you please explain further?
Well, there's such a thing called journalistic integrity, my friend, and this is the world's most dangerous sport. And we can't let, just because they gave us new microphones, I see yours has a golden V on it, that make us biased towards their agenda. That's all in the sport. We're supposed to cover it for the people. That's all. I just want to make that known.
In a world that is dominated by the melee of Mount Facemore, you, sir, are highly suspect to ever attack or discriminate or speak ill of our glorious host, the Bloody Stash Clothing Company, for giving us recording apparatus.
Okay. Okay, man. All right. I'm just saying, we just got to cover the matches, you know. Why don't we start with our top 10 and the PWI top 10 international.
The Pro Wrestling Illustrated.
It was basically the TVWA or NWA. The PWA, Apter magazine style.
You're just putting a bunch of A's at the end of letters, and you think it
sounds
dignified.
I'm talking about it's international. So what may be big here, even though we are the prime, you know, version, the TVWF, we are the best.
So Johnny Zero, get to it. What is the Pro Wrestling Illustrated top 10 this week?
Well, this week, number 10, we have the Sheik Abdul Cleaver.
Seriously?
Yes.
That is astounding.
Several astounding wins, brutal wins, with the help of corporal punishment, of course.
I agree with that synopsis.
So I don't know if they're, you know.
But here, all right, so here's my question.
It's almost like a handicap match.
I'm aware that you're a tabloid reporter. I know that. But my question would be, if we are both with the understanding that this Sheik gentleman is really not winning his matches handily, but is being assisted by the corporal punishment, why would your wrestling rag put him in the top 10, sir?
Because of his wins and his in-ring ability, and why would Brady have been in there?
I mean, again, I know
same question.
That you're a tabloid reporter.
I'm not.
But obviously, the integrity is not really what's the matter here, or of I should say, of focus.
He has won 20 matches in a row. Whether corporal punishment was in there or not, which I don't agree with, and I am not. That does not reflect the views of myself or the wrestling public, but a win is a win is a win, and he's made it into our international top 10.
And again, this is just shoddy tabloid journalism from the Pro Wrestling Illustrated. Who is number 9, sir?
Okay. Number 9 is Mack Truck Bernie.
Excuse me?
Bernie Mac.
The Bernie now Mac? This, the Mack Truck?
Yes, this is...
Is he a fan favorite, sir? I don't know much about that gentleman.
This is down from our Caribbean territories. He has been working with the Lost Cunningham and managed by Grady.
Now that I'm interested in dealing with later, but we'll get there.
Okay.
The Lost Cunningham is something that
he's a tremendous power wrestler.
We've been researching tremendously behind closed doors. I know that the former commissioner does not want that brought up.
Absolutely, probably not.
Howard Cunningham, we know what you did.
Yeah. At number 7, we have Mr. Brady.
Oh, the first Bishop of Wrestling.
Yes.
He is quite phenomenal. I don't know why he's not in the top 5, but that's fine.
Well,
that's
this
adorable.
Is international. He got...
Listen.
He was whipped handily, and...
The gentleman who appeared in The Return of the Jedi as a starring role as Jabba the Hutt is internationally known and therefore should be respected and should be higher in your list, sir.
Well, he's mounting his ego.
He likes mounting. That is his thing, yes.
Yes, his ego was bruised a little bit, but the feud with him in Ingles is not over. So that was only one match. They're going to have many matches across
the
country.
Brady doesn't like fighting women. Transvestites aren't his thing. I find it suspect that you bring up...
This is a guy who comes to the ring with chaps cut out with a thong on. What are you talking about?
Well, it's manpower. You know, that's his new thing. And we respect it greatly.
Okay, sounds good.
The strength of the men.
All right. Next, we have Pat Morita.
This is number 7, is that
number
correct?
Number 7, yes.
He's a bad mamma jamma.
Yes, he is. He manages to stay in there. He comes up and down the list, if you notice, but
now,
he's usually...
I'm sorry to keep interjecting.
Sure.
I just want to understand. Can we blame Pat Morita for losing our previous recording equipment because of the rain melee? Because in a lot of ways, if he didn't stay in the ring doing celebratory madness with...
What are you talking about?
Remember that... what's his name? Joan Ritter? Is that the wrestler's name?
You're talking about the Hero at Large?
Oh, yeah, Joan Ritter. Yes, exactly.
Captain Avenger himself?
So Joan Ritter had defeated him, which was shocking to us all, in that like 47-minute match. It was a Broadway, if you will.
Yes.
And then Pat Morita has to stay around and be like, oh, Joan, you're so beautiful.
No. See, you have to understand different cultures. They appreciate pro wrestling a little bit different than...
I just feel like perhaps Mr. Morita is making a pass at Joan, and the Hapical Punishment doesn't stand for that.
Not at all.
Then he came in with the flamethrower, and unfortunately, he got wet.
This is a happily married man who has taken an abused girl and body slammed a giant.
He body slammed an abused girl.
And
this is wrong.
No, he body slammed Fred Gwynn, the giant, to win the $20,000 to get her out of there, to get, at least get her set up on her own. And she's training, I hear. I hear he's training them. As you know, John Ritter has that knee injury. So next we have the Last Defiant Cowboy, which is, I think, his name. He's been wrestling under Harley Davidson and the Marlboro Man with Jax from Sons of Anarchy.
Okay.
That's Bo Duke, my friend. And the Last Defiant Cowboy.
He's number 6?
Yeah.
Bo Duke.
Yes, that's it. Absolutely. Dude, the guy can work. I know his mic skills might not be there.
You know
I realize that.
Do you know why I wouldn't know?
What?
Because I'm part of the real federation, the TV Dads Wrestling Federation.
He has wrestled
exclusively. No, but you're talking about Pro Wrestling Illustrated, and he's in the minor leagues, and that's adorable. But I'm part of the real deal. But go ahead.
I hear
you. You continue.
I hear you.
Now, we're finally cracking the top 5, which
okay.
is truly interesting.
We have Ricky Ricardo.
Oh, he is a bad man.
That's what I'm saying. He's not a regular in TV DWF.
You know why, though? Ricky is an international travel wrestler.
Yes.
And has held championships all over the globe.
As is Duke, yes.
I don't agree with that synopsis.
He beat who?
Whom did he beat?
He beat Mr. Belvedere in Britain.
Like, that's difficult to do. An out of shape fat homosexual. Like, that's a difficult
person to
defeat.
He also went 90 minutes with Morita. 90 minutes and a 60-minute Broadway.
After Joan defeating him, Morita has gone down in my book. Joan Ritter is
John,
not a powerful wrestler.
Captain
and
Avenger
she
is
defeated
pretty
him.
Good wrestler.
Obviously not.
Well, he's on... But it's a different thing. I see his future as maybe being like a coach or a trainer, something in that capacity.
Well, he's got no wheels, obviously.
Well,
who's in the top 5? I care about the top 5.
Okay,
this is what I'm here
right,
for.
Well,
this is what I bought my tickets
okay,
for.
Okay, what number are we at? You distracted
number
me.
5.
Number so. 5. Okay, we have Timmy Tooltime.
An amazing athlete. Now
he's an amazing athlete.
He's a drug addict. I can't deny that. But obviously... No, but here's the thing. He got through. He's going to face Bonaducci for the TV championship.
Is that what the finals
That's
is?
What it is. Like they. So,
tell us.
It wasn't... All right. Because of what happened with our technology and our equipment being waterlogged through the melee, because Pat Morita wouldn't get out of the ring... The whole situation is we could no longer record the action for the TV Dad Wrestling podcast. So we're a bit behind. And what we had missed off camera or away from everything is that the TV title has come down to two competitors. Tim the Toolman, which you had just announced is in your top 5, facing off against the one and only middleweight champion of the world, Danny Bonaducci.
Absolutely. El Macho Duce.
El Macho Duce, exactly.
Yes,
now, Joni's fresh out of rehab again, and she will be at his side for the competition.
Good. God bless her.
God bless. Thoughts and prayers. Thoughts and prayers.
No, I'm sincere, man. It's
as am I.
I got the drool on my arm. I mean, like, I still look at the stain. What was that? She was frothing at the mouth.
You are literally trying to advise myself as well as our listening staff. You have not washed your arm in 7 weeks or 8 weeks. That's
I'm
what you're
a big Journey
right
fan, man.
That's filthy.
No, but I'm serious. No, but
listen,
I did wash this
do
shirt.
Do not get
I'm
the
saying.
Drool on my new Bloody Stash crew microphone.
I'm trying to tell you, buddy, that this whatever she was drawing out of her mouth was like toxic. Look at this. This has been washed. It was, I took it to the dry cleaner and everything.
I can't hear you. La, 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 la. Number four. Okay.
Number four. Moving up this week is Archie Bunker, Uncle Slam himself.
The bear.
Yes, the bear.
Referred to lately.
Bear Bunker.
Bear Bunker.
That's it.
A bad man in the ring.
Yes, he's great. And he's having to take from urban folklore a lot of the responsibilities of what's going on with Sanford. Sanford's being called out, which we'll get to you later from Grady in Haiti. We have some, we just have some tapes here we're going to have to share with you. But, you know, with Lamont going with the BSC, and you know that stress, only putting stress on his heart, plus Elizabeth. Plus Elizabeth on top of it. I mean, like, you know, Bunker is taking up. It's funny that Archie Bunker and Fred Sanford was our original match. Was it not the first match in the history of TV Dad?
You know what I find sad? It isn't funny, Johnny Zero. You know what I find sad about the TV Dads Wrestling Federation?
What's that?
Is that you are defending aging, dying athletes who do not belong in the squared circle and should not be in the top five. I know the Bear is a powerful wrestler, but the bottom line is he's an old man. He's got bad knees. He's got bad joints. Why? Why on earth is someone like that?
Are you going to mess with Archie Bunker and Fred Sanford?
Fred Sanford, yes. Not so much Archie Bunker.
Dude, I don't know. I've seen him do a moonsault off the top rope. It's pretty good.
And that, sir, was a very long time ago.
No,
sir.
I'm saying recently. He's taken all their tag matches. Fred Sanford is so upset about Lamont going with the BSC, as it appears to be, in the Rhinestone Cowboys, as you will. He's taking all the matches that they had, urban folklore, meaning Uncle Slam, Archie Bunker, or the Bear Bunker, excuse me, and the Ghetto Santa.
Perhaps if Mr. Sanford had taken care of his only son, he would no longer, or not at this time, be associated with the Bloody Stash Crew, which is a winning organization, I might add.
But he has
thoughts
to
and prayers. God bless the Bloody Stash Crew. God bless the first Bishop of Wrestling. Man.
Listen, Lamont does not know what he's in for.
Getting himself into? How dare you? How dare you say that the first Bishop of Wrestling is anything but glorious and majestic and the best thing to happen to this federation?
Well, it's obviously having a very terrible effect.
You know,
on
I don't
want
to hear this. How about you get back to your top 10 so I can deliver my top
I'm trying to explain to you how, before we move on to number two, further up, I want to tell you how Bunker is Uncle Slam, the Bear himself, Archie Bunker, has moved up. This is, he's taking all the bookings of urban folklore, which is Bunker and Sanford against all over the country. Sanford hasn't been to show up because he's having heart palpitations.
He's a drinker and he has a drinking problem.
Oh,
and
stop
that's why
it.
He can't compete.
How do you know that?
It's just a fact.
Oh, come on. Grady
used
to
read
drinker.
It in your tabloid magazine, actually.
Oh, whatever. But Archie Bunker's been taking these matches as a handicap match.
As I roll my eyes, watch this.
And winning. And winning.
Yeah, no, he's not.
Okay. Well, he is.
Not, though.
Okay, well, I have it here.
But he's not winning, then.
23-1.
Yep, no.
Okay. At number...
I believe you're at number three.
Number three, we have the working man, James Evans.
All right, I'll give you that one. All right, I've got to talk.
Great wrestler.
No, we got to talk, though. So, the whole thing of the militants is that James Evans has never held a title in any capacity. He has never held gold in the TV Dads Wrestling Federation, but his two children are now the tag team heavyweight champions of the world. So I find it suspect, sir, that you're putting James Evans, the non-title holder of the Evans family, in your top five. Can you please explain that to me, sir?
All I can say is this is one of the best working men in the world.
I can't. All right, I'll give you that. He's a good athlete.
His win loss record is second to barely anybody.
I frankly feel that Charlotte Evans is holding him under the heel and is not allowing James Evans to ascend to compete for the world.
They're like best friends.
It's sad.
What are you talking about?
I think that Charlotte is just abusing that relationship to hold on further. Because in my opinion, James Evans could handily defeat the heavyweight champion and doesn't get the opportunity to do so.
Well, apparently you know what? Later in this episode, we may have something along those lines. But as far as being an in-ring worker, I'm talking just straight up worker, James Evans is absolutely second to none in the world.
Who's number two in your top ten?
Well, it has to be the current world's middleweight champion, and that's El Majaducci.
Now, see, I agree with that. Thoughts and prayers. Thoughts and prayers. I agree with that. Bonaducci, more power to you. You're going to face off for the World TV Championship. Now, here's the question, Johnny Zero. If he happens to defeat Tim the Toolman, which we got to be honest, we have no idea.
Right.
Because Tim the Toolman is a bad man. Will he hold on to both championships upon defeating Tim the Toolman? Is he a well? If you remember, the original guidelines were drafted that you couldn't hold the belt, but the middleweight championship did not exist back then.
Right.
That is since the Springer Mafia and the Springer regime have taken over TV Dad's wrestling. That the lightweight championship is now the middleweight championship. What are your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts are as much as I hate Springer, I think that was a brilliant idea to bring that in. It opens up a lot of we've got.
So though you despise the man, you do appreciate.
The fact that there's a division for guys like Arnold Tattoo, who can compete with any heavy at any day, Arnold Coleman, Arnold Drummond, so on and so forth, Beaver, etc. These guys are good. I mean, I've even heard of somebody wrestling in an Alf suit. I don't know if that's true or not.
Did you say an Alf suit? That's amazing.
I don't know if it's true or not, but that's what I've heard. And it spits green mist of some sort.
I cannot
acid
speak
in
on
the
it.
Other I person. I don't know if it's true or not. But
so Bonaducci's number two.
Bonaducci is number two. And number one is, as always, the world's heavyweight champion, the fighting world's heavyweight champion, who has defended his belt undefeatedly, putting our promotion on his back. On his back.
I've changed from doing the eye roll to the full-on exorcist head spin.
Well,
this is now what I do.
Beat the man in the ring. You ever, the man lives with no electricity. You ever seen the show Live Free or Die?
That's what I do.
You ever seen the show
when
Live Free
When you ever
or Die?
Say Charlotte Ingalls is the
How do you explain
position?
He's still alive then?
Now for the top five of the TV Dads Wrestling Federation.
Yes.
In the number five position, the first Bishop of Wrestling, Michael Brady.
Nice. Okay. Great. You should be there.
This does not make any sense. I do not compile this list. I do not support the list in any capacity, but in the number four position is Joan Ritter.
Hero at large.
Joan
Great
Ritter.
Worker. Great worker.
The number three position of the top five for the TV Dads Wrestling Federation is El Macho Duce, Danny Bonaducci.
Why is he that low?
Again, I do not compile the list. I cannot speak on it. You make your list for Pro Wrestling Illustrated. I am just an employee of the TV Dads Wrestling Federation.
I do mine based on there's all kinds of analysis.
Now,
not
I'm
going to
tell
you. I'll just whip it out of thin air.
Please, can I finish? I didn't. You did your list. I'm just kidding. Listen, in the number two position is Tim the Toolman Taylor, but this is suspect, Johnny Zero. I feel that this federation has already picked a winner, and they are of the opinion that perhaps Tim the Toolman will, because he's part of Mount Facemore, defeat El Duce and be the second TV champion in wrestling history.
Well, that is a question. That's going to be one hell of a match. I think the whole world's waiting for that.
You know what I
find? That's a main event anywhere in the country.
And before I get to the number
anywhere
one position.
Anywhere in the world.
I'm confused about something, sincerely.
Yeah.
Why is it, in fact, that we didn't have, who's now, I believe, retired, and he's become a judgeship, we didn't have the former TV champion as the number one seed automatically for this whole competition?
You're talking about Gwynn?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, because the thespian has become the judge.
Which is true. I remember.
And he's leaned into the legal enforcement.
So is he just out of wrestling currently?
I
in singles competition.
I don't know that because it's kind of in flux. He did remember he judged. He judged
the whole controversy and the gunshot situation.
Yeah, God rest your blood, Bud Blundy.
Excuse
just,
me.
I had to just say for Bud.
Just beating a dead horse. That is the past. Bud Bundy is left behind. Unfortunately, is the first person to pass away in the TV Dads Wrestling Federation. And I, for one, am fine with the situation.
Well,
in the number one position for the top five, Charlotte Ingalls with a bullet on Mount Facemore.
Charles Ingalls, the world's heavyweight champion.
Charlotte Ingalls.
Well, he should be.
Round it out. So
I like your top five.
The top five is all Mount Facemore, pretty much. It's like this worst sellout possible.
I think that Bonaducci's underrated, in my opinion.
Henry Winkler, since he's gotten back in power, has more or less assumed more control because Springer has vanished since the whole controversy of the gunshot.
Yes.
And before him, if you remember, Maury Povich resigned under allegations of sexual something-something.
Right.
And here we are, and I believe Henry Winkler is suspect, and he's a fanboy, and he likes Mount Facemore, and they have influated? No. They have interjected? No. They have taken over the top five, which is unnecessary and unacceptable, frankly.
Dude, you got to admit, though, there's never been a face stable in the history of wrestling.
You know, John,
that I know of.
I'm not going to let you or Henry Winkler and their one-sided, short-sighted way to run a federation beat me up today. Do you know why?
Why?
there is a new wrestler being heralded as the next big thing.
Yes, I've heard this. I read
online that he will be the person.
Yes, I saw that.
Unseat Charlotte Engels.
I have heard this, and I would love to see it.
Now, Mr. Stashberg has been injured tremendously.
Yeah, from the gunshot.
From the gunshot wound.
Yeah, they just grazed him, but still.
But still, you can't exactly compete.
Right, sure.
You can't wrestle with a gunshot wound.
All kinds of stuff.
So I am pleased to announce here today, news breaking as we sit here and speak with the beautiful Bloody Stash crew microphones and new recording apparatus they had given us, that the first Bishop of Wrestling, Michael Brady, is introducing to the world for the first time ever the Nightmare, Michael Knight.
Oh. Wow.
Ladies and gentlemen, from parts unknown, weighing in at 248 pounds, do not hassle the Hoff, the Nightmare, Michael Knight.
Holy shit, look at him, man.
He is a breathtaking, athletic gentleman. Look at the new mustache and beard accompanying. He looks phenomenal.
He's trotting, he's going up the ring apron, he's coming in. Man, he looks great. What's with the stash? He's got that's a big, burly stash this man has.
In the red corner, we have Philip Drummond. Philip Drummond.
Philip Drummond, yeah, baby. He's been Philip Drummond's been doing very well down in
Oh, Johnny Zero.
Haiti.
It is a one fall, 20-minute time limit, and they lock up in the center of the ring, and Philip Drummond is
collar
tossed through the ropes, and he hits the floor, sir.
Through the ropes.
Look at the power and the majesty of Michael Knight as he stands in the center of the ring.
Yeah, and I don't know if Drummond's gotten over what he went through in Haiti yet either. He's coming back in the ring. Looks like Hasselhoff is coming off the ropes and knees him right in the face.
Oh, that is gnarly,
sir. And there's busted open. Drummond is busted open, folks.
Now, they're rolling Drummond out of the ring onto the floor. He's kicking him as he does it. Now, the Nightmare has tied up the referee, and the first Bishop of Wrestling takes over his golden scepter, and he hits Mr. Drummond in the back of the head.
Oh, no!
Oh, that's awful. That's awful.
And he's slapping him, too. What the hell's that all about?
Now, the ref is broken free. They roll Mr. Drummond back into the ring. Up, he hooks the leg. 1, 2, 3. Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen, the winner,
and they're putting the boots to him,
of his debut match in the TV Dads Wrestling Federation, the Nightmare, Michael Knight.
Oh, no. Oh, and they're still putting the boots to him. Oh.
I don't know what to tell you, Johnny Zero. It is what it is.
Come on, man. Leave that man alone. Somebody come out here.
Pandemonium running wild. The melee continues. The Bloody Stash crew is just hammering poor Philip Drummond into the fucking ring apron. There's blood
everybody
everywhere.
Everybody knows what happened to Haiti. From Haiti.
I don't even know why no one's coming out to help.
What's going on, man?
This is madness, sir.
Oh, wait. There's somebody jumping over the fence there. Who is that?
That's a portly gentleman is what that is.
That looks like a truck or something.
Oh, my goodness. Bionic elbow to Mr. Brady. Mr. Brady hits the ground. Facing off against the Nightmare. Who is this Oh, my goodness. Michael Knight is out of there.
Holy
Mr. Brady's
shit.
Absconded. Who is this person and why is he helping?
Did you hear that on the sound effects?
I don't know what's happening.
Was that on the PA? Was that really his arm moving?
I'm greatly confused about what's happening. Can you please try to fill us in the best you can?
It looks like a trucker. I guess a guy in a flannel shirt with a mask, and he's got blue jeans on, and he just jumped the fence.
Johnny Zero, take a microphone up to the ring. I want to know who this person is. Go up and let's see.
Sure. Give me a second. Let me get my earpiece. Hey, what's going on over here? Who was that?
Mr. Johnny Zero!
What?
I'm the living dream!
Excuse me? What is happening, Johnny Zero?
Go ahead, just tell me what's talking to Mike, man, so we can hear you. What's going on, man? We're happy somebody came out to help out.
I'm John Goodman. I am the living dream. I'm coming to the TV Dads Wrestling Federation to clean it up. I'm here to be a part of Mount Facemore.
Yeah, baby! So you're actually a tribute to Dusty Rhodes, is that what I'm saying?
More or less, you could say that. I am the living dream. I'm John Goodman with the bionic elbow. I do not stand for this madness from the Bloody Stash crew. And Michael Knight, he is nothing. He's weak. Here I am, baby.
And what do you think about the Springer Mafia and their link with the BSC?
And there he goes, Johnny Zero. You have lost
oh
your
my
interview.
Oh, my God. Dude, but that was great. Did you see that?
I did see that.
So why is he wearing a mask if he's going to tell me he's John
Goodman? I don't know what you want me to... John Goodman's, I guess, a part of the lead. Now, we have to literally...
That's fucking great.
Get a hold of, you know, Henry Winkler. Is this, like, sanctioned? Is this legal? Why was the man in the crowd? Why did this happen? Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a commercial break.
That was awesome.
Please bear with us. The TV Dad Wrestling Podcast.
I can't help it. I'm working out.
On the Loud and Loaded Network. Please bear with us. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the TV Dads Wrestling Podcast. This is episode number 25. Johnny Zero, we've just seen a fantastic wrestling and fantastic match in the ring as we spoke. Before we went to the break, we come back. There's breaking news. Johnny Zero, what do you have?
Well, it looks like Andy Griffith is being brought in as head of security to try and clean up what's going on. But this
by who? There's no one running the Federation.
Well, apparently Ross Perot. I remember I told you a couple episodes ago that I had footage of what happened on the Ross Perot's plane, and it was tattoo. And he's from his hospital bed. He's trying to bring in Andy Griffith in to try and clean things up. Now, that I love the Living Dream. I'm marking out, man. I think it was great. But we have to keep gunshot wounds and things like that. Even though TV Dad Wrestling is real, folks, people are fake. But it's true. Is there never more true statements that...
I have no comment at this time.
Okay, well...
I'm very upset. The living dream comes in.
Yeah.
He breaks up, not the coronation, but the introduction of the Nightmare, Michael Knight, and he steals the thunder. John Goodman's not even a part of this federation. I have no idea why he was here. Right. He bought a ticket, and now he's fucking red. He's in Redland. Red Foreman can just wrestle in a parking lot, and then you're a part of wrestling. There's contracts. There's things that go into place.
Agree.
You can't just willy-nilly run about and be like, oh, I'm on TV Dad's Wrestling. Now, granted, he was a dad on Roseanne. I'm aware of this fact.
Yes.
But fucking John Goodman, I don't know, man.
Yes, and I hear they're bringing back that show. Is that correct?
It is correct. It had already debuted. By the time this is on there, they had 18.5 million people viewership on the first day.
Wow. And it's not just it's balanced pretty much from what I hear. I don't know. I haven't seen it, so I will reserve judgment. But I'm happy to see Goodman in there. Babe Ruth, he played Babe Ruth, the Babe. I mean, Dusty Rhodes is the Babe Ruth of wrestling, in my opinion. Man, that's just... I think it's great. But the other thing is, I don't want that to steal Michael Knight's thunder.
He did, though.
What a devastating wrestler.
It's just... Thank you. Thank you for saying that. It doesn't really help, but thank you for trying to make me feel better at this moment when I'm so upset and defeated by the fact that the Living Dream just comes in and steals the thunder. We've been building this up for weeks. Stashberg got shot. We had no idea he's going to take his... No, this isn't funny. You're laughing. No idea he's going to take his place. And then they sign this phenomenal athlete, you know, the Nightmare, Michael Knight. Here he is. He grew out his facial hair. It's glorious. His hair's feathered. He looks fantastic. He's a muscular, gigantic man. And then some fat guy with an elbow. I don't get it.
I don't understand either, but let's not also forget that he beat a very marching to the beat of my own Drummond.
an old man.
Yeah, but he's... Dude, no man.
Mess.
Dude, he's still a very competitive wrestler.
Did you think that was competitive? Is that what you thought?
No.
I feel like the league does not take the Nightmare seriously and does not respect him.
No,
he wasn't. And gave him
a jobber for his first match. He's not a jobber.
He's a jobber.
No, he's not. I've got pay-per-view footage to show you. It's just the commentary
is a
different language.
I have half a mind to suggest that before we go to 6:05 on Sunday, 6:05 Eastern, that should be the match. The main event should be the Nightmare versus the Living Dream, who thinks that's ironic, the Nightmare versus the Dream. I don't know, but that should be the match.
Well, we'll see how it turns out. I have no problem with that at all.
The Living Dream.
But I'll tell you this,
Fat
though.
Man.
But Drummond is not just a... He's got that whole thing going on with Grady down there in Haiti, and he's fighting for his kids. He's fighting, even though Willis is a known boxer and very good.
Didn't you tell me that Grady's totally convinced that he is the natural parents of the Drummond children?
Absolutely. I don't have to tell you that's true. It's a two-parter episode. It's the truth. It's a fact. Look it up for yourself. Grady is the father, the biological father of Arnold and Willis. But Philip Drummond is their dad. He's the one who actually cares about him. And the only reason he wanted that scumbag want anything to do with his own kids was to get money. out of it.
Well, they're wealthy at this point. They're living in Park Avenue. They're having a good life. I mean, Drummond's beat to hell. He's got destroyed by the Nightmare,
well,
who is the most powerful athlete in wrestling today, which everyone knows this. They've been talking about it for weeks. He's finally here. Stashberg's on the mend, and this is who we have to replace him. I don't know.
Well, we you got to remember, though, that there are territories around the world. This guy just wrestled five nights in a row. He had to fight Mack Truck Bernie.
Because he matters.
Well, they do. They're coming in.
You know, John,
Lost Cunningham brother.
All right, that's someone to take seriously. The Lost Cunningham brother is real.
You don't think Bernie Mac is someone that's real?
I do not, no. No, I'm not impressed. Did you see his Mr.
Hell
Baseball
of a power
movie?
Wrestler.
His Mr. Baseball movie? He's like an old fat guy. I don't care.
What are you
talking
about? He's great.
I'm not impressed.
I love Bernie Mac.
No. He ran away from a midget in Ice Cube's movie Friday. He's banging the midget's wife. The midget comes home. He runs away. You kick him. It's a midget. Kick him in the face. But no, a pro athlete would have kicked him in the face and kept fucking.
Little people.
You know, I'm not you. I don't subscribe to the way you look at the world.
I'm the one
person.
That's feisty, right? Okay. I'm just saying that tag team, for whatever reason, Mack Truck Bernie and the Lost Cunningham, managed by Grady, the witch doctor, the zombie voodoo, pufferfish, dust blowing, mind control, evil.
Ladies and gentlemen,
let's do it. Let's go. Let's rock and roll.
This is a one fall, 25-minute time limit. The challengers in the ring from Happy Days, Ralph Mouth, and Potsy Weber. They are the Milwaukee Killers.
Quite a big fan reaction.
I got to tell you, they are fan favorites. They're good wrestlers. I'm a little impressed, if you will, that they are in the ring. Because if you remember correctly, they were a part. They were a part of the entire scenario.
The parking lot wars.
Exactly. So the fact that they're letting them in is just amazing to me. Like, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, I mean, you can see that people are, even the bootleg videos of this stuff, I mean, like.
It is quite popular.
It is.
With YouTube
it's
exploding.
Hardcore wrestling. It's entirely art form. It's not, and they're rebelling. It's people say it's garbage wrestling. Well, guess what? You don't like that garbage, change the channel. It's a different form.
Coming down to the ring.
Different form, that's all.
The new World Tag Team Champions, the Militants.
Wow, this is terrible.
I, for one, am a huge fan of the Militants. They are a great tag team.
And the fact that they're using this theme song is such a disrespect
to
James.
But, sir, that is where they're from.
But they have their own tag. They have their own
theme.
Well,
they're the champions. The champions can do what they want at this point.
I hear you. I hear you. I just feel bad for Michael.
You feel bad for Michael.
Because he's being,
up, and they're in the ring. Michael begins the match, facing off against Potsy Weber, Johnny Zero.
They're locking up, collar double tie up. Looks like Potsy is body slamming Michael.
So quickly, the champion hits
goes off the ropes for an elbow, drops it, and misses. Michael gets up, quicks up, get back, collar double tie up again. Michael hip tosses Potsy.
He's very powerful, Michael.
I'm
impressed.
Absolutely is. Now Potsy grabs a headlock. Looks like he's going to the ropes. He's trying to. Looks like a bulldog headlock.
That's awful.
Turns him around.
Tags in Ralph Mouth, who jumps over the rope.
Yep.
It's just vicious, Johnny. He jumps over the rope, and he immediately starts manhandling the smaller Michael and throwing him around the ring and beating him to a pulp. And he puts him in an armbar, and he's just locked. Working on that right shoulder, Johnny.
That looks like Ralph Mouth throws him into the ropes. He's going for a clothesline. Now Michael dives underneath. Bumps off the ropes, comes back with his own clothesline from behind.
Fantastic move. He tags in JJ. JJ comes into the ring. The Duke of Chicago. Of Chicago.
The powerful man that he is.
Who then sprays a mist into Potsy Weber's face. Potsy falls off of the ring apron. He goes over and starts hammering on Ralph Mouth. He tags in Michael. Michael comes out. He also has a mist. He sprays it in the face. He hooks the leg. One, two, three. Johnny Zero. Johnny Zero. Oh, my goodness.
Ladies and gentlemen, winner and still World Tag Team Champions,
the Militants.
The Militants.
Unbelievable. Oh, no, they've got Ralph Mouth up. Oh, my God. Duke of Chicago is single-handedly choke slams Ralph Mouth. Unbelievable. To the good times music. How this...
Evans! James Evans is running out from the back. John, what is going to happen in the ring?
I have no idea. I assume he's going to have to confront publicly his son and find out what he's so angry about. And
the Duke of Chicago.
The whole coming to America.
Facing off in the center of the squared circle against his father, James Evans. Michael is outside the ring. Johnny, what is going to happen in front of us?
I don't know. They're just staring each other down.
I'm so sorry.
I see James is trying to make
We have
peace
to go to a
him.
Commercial break. Ladies and gentlemen, please this bear is, with us.
We shouldn't even put this on the air.
We'll be right back.
Unbelievable.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to episode number 25 of the TV Dads Wrestling Podcast. My name is Vex X, along with your hero, Mr. Johnny Zero. And I got to tell you, a lot of bad things just happened. J.J. Walker, the Duke of Chicago, was in the squared circle. He had just defended successfully his World Tag Team Championship.
Yeah.
His father comes down to, I don't know, interject. He gets in their business. He tries to intercede and explain to them, the way he puts it, living right, being a good child, and following the Good Times family plan. Now, they didn't come to blows, but it got heated. Mr. Johnny Zero, what are
your
thoughts?
Well, if eyes could have laser beams, it'd be like hot knife through butter. I don't know how to explain it. That was one of the... You could feel it in the air, folks. This,
very tense.
This goes beyond the sport, even.
But again, I have to say it. It's like, you know, the elephant in the room. The first Evans people to win, and those people, to win the gold are the Evans boys and not their
folks.
Father. I mean, I don't know. Maybe the Duke of Chicago is correct about what he says. Maybe it's true. I mean, they did just handily defeat, you know, the Milwaukee Killers.
What are you talking about? The working man has won numerous matches all around this country.
But he has no championship.
He has not held a championship, world championship as of yet. But
no
he's
TV
held
title.
Multiple. He's been. What are you talking about? He was Chicago Brass Knucks champion.
But you're sidestepping the situation at hand. No world heavyweight championship. No TV championship. No lightweight championship. No middleweight championship, and no tag championship. And his sons are now the world tag team champions.
First of all, he's not a lightweight, so he wouldn't be.
I agree. That makes.
Not a middleweight, but you're right. He has not held either of the two world heavyweight championships.
And it's like he's been chasing this for months upon months upon months. Now, we have a special report, Mr. Zero.
Yeah.
At this portion of the program, you're going to tell us about the situation that's been unfolding in Haiti.
Yeah, Grady from Haiti.
In reference to wrestling. So what exactly is happening?
It's a very controversial thing. There was a pay-per-view down in Haiti where Grady from the Sanford and Son show is screaming and at Fred. That's how the pay-per-view ends. We can't show you all of it. We're just going to recap you it because it's...
We had no recording equipment at all. Everything was destroyed in the rain. In the sprinkler system. So we had nothing to record with.
Right. Well, I have a buddy in the custodial arts down in Haiti that had videotaped it for me, but and has a tape of it because it was a pay-per-view down there.
Well, what's the gist of it?
But there's no... it's in a different language. Basically, Grady is calling out the entire TV Dad Wrestling Federation. And so it was aired. It's getting circulate up here, which means they have money, which means Springer or the BSC or somebody is behind.
So what federation is this supposed to be?
This is the I guess it would be the Caribbean Wrestling Alliance.
Okay, I've heard of that.
Yeah. So
what's happening? Tell us the news.
Well, Grady has a feud with Drummond because he's claiming to be the father of Arnold and Willis Drummond, and that Fred. This is another thing. This
Fred Sanford.
Yeah, Fred Sanford, Ghetto Santa. That's why Uncle Slam, Archie Bunker, has taken most of his matches, his handicap matches, because his heart condition, especially what's going on with Lamont and everything, is that he's claiming to be the true biological father of Arnold and Willis.
Well, you just said that, though, but you're losing me with the Fred Sanford
situation. What I'm saying is it's true, though. That's the thing, that the DNA test came back from your boy Maury Povich.
Okay.
That it is, Grady is the biological father of Arnold and Willis. And it's the fact.
No one's disagreeing, but you have a special report. You're talking about Haiti specifically.
Yeah.
What exactly is unfolding down there? We have this display.
Right. I got it. Well, he has the puffer fish dust, which is an actual fish that lives down the Caribbean, and that's what they. If you heard the thing about zombies, I'm not talking about Walking the Dead or whatever that type of stuff. You know, George Romero stuff. God bless. But he blows it in your face, and it can make a person seem dead, and under. You know, mind control, that's the legend. There is some truth to it, to scientific wise, but it's not to be proven. He has a great tag team down there, the They're very devastating. These guys destroy people like the Road Warriors used to do. It's the Mack Truck Bernie, which is Bernie Mac, the Lost Cunningham brother, and they went down there and they fought, and they brought the Lost, the Harley Davidson and the Marlboro Man is what they wrestled as, which is the last defiant cowboy, which is Bo Duke and Jax from Sons of Anarchy. They went down there to fight him, and basically what happens is during the match, they're doing well. I mean, these guys are pretty powerful. I would say Bo's probably a better worker than Jax is, but Jax is getting there. But these guys are just unstoppable. But they're in there working at him, and Grady, when the referee isn't looking, is obviously paid off, obviously with the Springer Mafia, obviously with the BSC, what have you, blows the puffer fish dust into the eyes of one Jax. So Jax starts twitching, basically. I can see. Can you rewind that? Let me see that again. Yeah, just rewind that, because fans, we can't really legally let you hear this stuff.
Well, it's not our recording. Yeah. There's no licensing. It's technically not this federation.
Yeah,
you're just being a tabloid reporter. I understand.
No,
thoughts and prayers.
What are you talking about? We're watching it right now. You wouldn't understand. I wouldn't
understand.
No. I'm telling
you, my mental capability.
No, I'm saying the language is a different.
You have no idea how well spoken I am, and my mastery of the language, just logistical arts, if you will.
Give me a break, man. It's from Haiti, and we don't understand that language. Like, if you know how to read it, then go ahead.
If I know how to read it,
I mean, if you know how to like interpret it, what the guy's saying, I'm just watching it on mute.
I understand.
So anyway, I'm just trying to relate it to you. So anyway,
I know about tabloids. I've read them when I was a child.
So Jax is being taken to the. It looks like Jax is being taken out to the hospital. Bo is in there getting his ass kicked by them, and it looks like Grady is grabbing a microphone, and that's when he makes his comments, which are in English. And he's saying basically something like, "Fred, let me tell you something, Fred. I'm a TV dad too. Them drumming boys are my boys, Fred. And I'm drinking me some nitrine, and I'm coming to you. And your boy Lamont hanging out with that frilly little boy, Miss Brady."
I have to put a stop to this. I cannot believe
I think it's good for you, Fred.
I can't believe you're playing.
Because Elizabeth was with me. Lamont's my boy. Lamont's my boy.
And I'm not allowing this to go
what
any further.
What the fuck was that all about?
This is unnecessary.
Holy shit.
Why would you attack the First Bishop of Wrestling? Why would you say these nasty things? Lamont is...
Probably to cover it up.
Is Fred Sanford's son. Everyone knows this.
I don't know. I have no idea what's up with Grady.
Frankly speaking, Grady's not even a part of this federation. He left of his own volition. He was a valet. He was a part of the junk men at the initial launch of this before Lamont joined the Bloody Stash crew.
And that's where this all started at. Now, look, this is not anything that's rumor or speculation. That is where he's pissed at. Is because in the original junk men thing, he was not allowed to wrestle in the World Heavyweight Division.
Because he's not a TV dad, which everybody knows.
But his contention... Look, don't shoot the messenger. I'm just telling you what his argument is. I'm not telling you that I agree or whatever.
I'm sorry, John. That's true. It seems like you agree, though.
No.
Anything you can do to speak ill of the TV Dads Wrestling Federation in reference to the first bishop of that federation...
Oh, my God.
No, it's what you do,
though. What are you
talking
about?
That's how you are. I'm used to it, and I'm over it, and you're like, oh, magically, I'm going to play this tape, and this guy's going to call out Lamont, who's a part of the Bloody Stash crew.
Well,
he's
trying to get in the head of Fred Sanford.
The only reason you're able to even give this report is because you're using a Bloody Stash crew microphone right now. But you biting the hand
that
feeds,
BSC.
As always.
Okay. I'm not biting any hands. I'm trying to tell you the reason the Junkmen broke up is because Grady felt that Fred went on to be a big star nationally with Archie Bunker. Look, let's be honest here. Everybody loved that reunion, that union, that uniting of Archie Bunker and Fred Sanford.
Yeah, it was huge. They sold out arenas around the world.
I mean, they're a great tag team. They're brawlers.
But you're bringing up the whole Grady scenario.
Well, that's where was Grady at?
He's drunk on Ripple. He has no idea what's happening. That's what they drink. Did you ever watch the show?
Who's that? No.
Ripple? That's the beverage of choice.
Oh, I didn't know.
From the Fred Sanford show.
Yeah, yeah.
Not the Grady show, the Fred Sanford show.
Yes, thank you for mentioning
that.
thank you for mentioning that, because there was a Grady show. I've never seen an episode of it. It must not have lasted long, but
it was called Sanford House.
Sanford House.
They turned the Fred Sanford building into a hotel, and it had Gorilla Face, the ant, and it had Grady.
Gorilla Face? Did you just say that?
That's what they called her.
Back to your cave, Bat.
Yeah. We're going to actually put you on hold momentarily, and we're going to research this, and we will return, so please bear with us.
Yeah.
Welcome back to episode number 25 of the TV Dads Wrestling Podcast. We just verified indefinitely that the name of the show was Sanford Arms. And Grady was on it, and it was two episodes in 1977.
Fair enough. I've seen stuff where it was advertising Grady in the TV Guide.
There was a show.
Maybe that was fan made.
No, there was a show called Helltown in the 80s.
Yeah.
And Grady was like the right hand of who was it? Robert Blake, which played a Catholic priest.
Really?
No, for real.
Wow.
He also was a guest star on In the Heat of the Night, which was a...
With Bunker.
Yeah, so they've definitely all crossed paths many times over.
Yeah.
I guess Grady just feels that he is not recognized as a TV dad, and that's his main beef, or bone of contention, I should say.
Yes, I would agree with that completely. And he's also using it to get in Fred's head, because obviously Fred has not been able to... He's so upset about Lamont going with... The Bishop of the first
Bloody Stash Crew, Bishop. First Bishop of Wrestling.
Yeah, all that stuff. He's so upset by it that he's having heart palpitations.
Let's tell the truth between us. Johnny's here. No one's here. It's just me. It's just you.
Right.
At the end of the day, Fred Sanford abandoned his only son. He abandoned his only son to join Urban Folklore and make a play for the World Heavyweight Tag Team Championship, which was never fruitful, I might add.
Well, they're still on their way there.
That's not, I don't know.
We'll see. We have 605 now. We could see that could happen. I mean, it's not,
I'm not saying it couldn't happen. I'm saying it's not going to happen because the militants are unbeatable. They have the tutelage of one Mr. Cosby at their behest, and they've been using...
Wait. Go into that. What are you saying? Cosby is officially...
A part of it, yes. He's helped them along, and this is how come they won their World Tag Team Championship. And they just used the green mist in the ring.
Right. I know, but I'm just...
Well, that's the thing. So Cosby obviously is helming this. Okay. I guess the militants are at this time content not to be the World Tag Team Champions. Right. I'm not really sure. You know what I would do? If I was running things, I would shake it up. If I was Henry Winkler, I would have the militants face off against the Royals for the World Heavyweight Tag Team Championship, and that would be good television.
Well, fair. But if you're having the Royals versus the militants, and the Cosby is one of the Royals, and he's running the militants, then...
Dun, dun, dun. Yeah, drama. I'm trying to create drama. I know it's a bug. You're a tabloid reporter. I'm trying to teach you how to do this correctly. If we're making a television, if we're making a television program, in my humble opinion, that's where we should be.
Well, dude, I'm all for competition. That's all good with me. Anyway, back to this match here. The militants did defend their world titles against the Mighty Luchadors in this Haiti, Grady from Haiti pay-per-view, which obviously must be funded from somebody, and I think it's either BSC or the Springer Mafia. I'm not sure.
I'm sorry to cut you off, but I have questions. I want to dig into this.
Sure.
If it's possible at this time.
Sure, possibly. Go ahead.
If you remember correctly.
I'll tell you everything I know.
Many, many years ago, Bret Michaels had come to Philadelphia to help launch what was Paulie Dangerously's federation, which was ECW. And there was a heavyweight championship match between, help me out here, I'm reaching.
Todd Gordon and Paul Heyman, ECW. I'm trying to think.
Behind the Mat, a documentary about wrestling. Oh, my goodness. What is Funk? Terry Funk comes to town.
One of my all-time favorites.
All right, so bear with me.
Yeah.
The Hitman appeared. And he defeated Terry Funk, who was an older gentleman, just to launch ECW. It wasn't a sanctioned WWF match. In this situation that you're talking about, our World Tag Team Champions for the TV Dad Wrestling Federation went abroad. Was it a title defense? Was it sanctioned? How'd that work?
First of all, it wasn't launching ECW. It was actually, they were wrestling in, I believe the old, I could be wrong, we need to look this up.
It doesn't matter. It was their first pay-per-view. Launching the pay-per-view. It wasn't in Dallas, it was in Philadelphia. It was in Philadelphia.
Yes, the one in Philadelphia. Philly,
that's what I'm talking about.
Was Terry
about.
Funk versus Raven. The Terry Funk versus Bret Hart match was in Texas. Remember? Because he got his
No, own. I don't remember. I said it's not my thing.
And then beyond the mat.
I'm just trying to understand my federation.
Okay.
And then beyond the mat, he faced off against the world heavyweight champion at the time from WWF, but it was not a WWF match.
Yeah. And
did they indeed defend the tag title in Haiti? How is that even possible? How is that sanctioned?
Because I have to ask Springer. That's what I don't know. I think
Springer's in hiding and has been for quite a while.
Well, there's a TV Dad Wrestling Alliance in territories. We are just part of it. We are the biggest promotion. We are the star. We're the big guys. We're the big boys play.
Understood.
We're the major league of TV Dad Wrestling. But there are other promotions. There's some pretty wild stuff.
But how does the title get defended? These aren't people who had competed in here. Well, they weren't contenders. I'm confused. I don't understand.
I'm trying to figure that out myself, but I can't. I don't speak Haitian.
That's a good point.
And I can't. You know, I just got
but
this
I mean,
tape.
It's sad. You're a tabloid reporter. You bring half
tabloid,
the story.
Tabloid? You're looking at this thing.
I try to understand what's happening. You can answer no questions. I mean, this is what you do on our podcast.
Turn up the volume so
and
they can
this is
hear
what kills me. These are Bloody Stash crew
turn up the
microphones.
Volume so they can hear it.
And Bloody Stash crew recording apparatus. And this is what you do.
Well, anyway.
You bring a half-cocked story. I'm trying to ask you a question. You can't even answer the question.
It's because they're a world champion. They're defending their world tag team championship all over the world.
Against a non-contender. This is hurtful. Frankly,
well not in the Caribbean.
You're suspects.
Not in the Caribbean territory. Apparently, the Mighty Luchadors are pretty good. They've wrestled on our show
so
before.
What happens in the match?
Well, it looks to me like I'm trying to watch this without.
I mean, I just
going
saw the tag team champions
laws.
Defend.
I don't get sued.
Please don't talk over me. Well, I just saw the world tag team champions defend their titles. So how is what
it
happens?
It looks to me like George Lopez is starting to resent Ricky Ricardo.
I've heard that before.
I
You're
don't
not
know
the
if
first
it's true.
Person to tell me this.
It doesn't look. They don't have the same continuity they did. It looks like the militants have won. They've pinned Lopez, but it doesn't look like after the match. It doesn't look like they're together anymore, man. It looks like there's something going on there. And Lopez is mad because of Ricky Ricardo, as you know, has his capoeira exhibition that he is doing as a local high school up here. And he's not supposed to be showing the art of capoeira to us up here.
Neither here nor there. Could not care less. I care about the TV Dad Wrestling Federation.
I understand that.
They signed my paycheck.
I'm just trying.
And you're going off on a tangent.
I'm just telling you that. But we have to cover the entire world of wrestling, my friend. And I'm trying
you
to tell you.
You have to cover.
The mighty, the mighty Luchadors.
Reporter.
I'm seeing a breakup happen here. This is just before our Crockett Cup.
And that's amazing. So this is a bunch of teams. And this is the thing. So you're telling me that this team, who is a favorite, I might add.
Yes. The Mighty Luchadors. Now they're calling them. They even called them the Mighty Luchadors. I don't know what Lopez's problem is
and
with Ricardo.
Could they fracture? Is that what you're calling?
I don't know. I might be just reading it wrong. I'm not trying to. What did it look? You saw the tape. What did you think?
How can I speak on this? They're not even speaking English. It's in a foreign country. I have no idea what's happening. I mean, if you're telling me there's heat, there could be heat. I've heard that myself.
Okay. Well, then.
All right, Johnny, I got to cut you off. I have breaking news coming in across my screen. This is actually going to affect both of us tremendously.
Go ahead.
So Fred Gwynn is now definitively just acting as our judge.
Right.
It is official that the heckler's ban has been lifted.
Ah.
And it has not been 6 months. He's been banned from wrestling. I don't know if it's under appeal. I'm not sure if they're going to look at the case in general.
Sure.
However, as of right now, the heckler, his suspension has been lifted.
Holy shit.
Now, where does this sit with Macho Bonaducci, who has pretty much taken over the TV?
Bonaducci's pit.
That's very, very popular among the fans.
I don't know. I guess... I guess the ratings or something, the compete or something?
Well, the heckler's house is the original. It is the forerunner, if you will. It's established it.
Sure, but Bonaducci's kicked ass with that.
He's great on the microphone. We can't say he's not.
Yeah, he's awesome.
He had nothing to do. His little girlfriend was in drug rehab, so Joni was getting help.
Yeah,
that's
true.
And he fused his attention elsewhere. He definitely added to the demise of Bud Bundy, which for some reason no one wants to discuss, but I will discuss
it. The man who got away with murder. No, dude, that was Ted Lawson, and he got away with it.
Well, Ted Lawson was acquitted of all charges.
Yeah, but that when he comes off the ropes, that's on his chest, that's not his skull piercing his brain, man. That's Ted Lawson.
I believe the larynx was crushed, and he would have not been able to breathe, and that was what happened in the situation at hand.
Well, I guess, so this I guess man, we'll never know.
He's got blood on his hands in no way. He has Piper's pit. I'm sorry, I didn't. Bonaducci's pit. Look at that Freudian slip I did there. Yeah. But the bottom
line
is...
all right. It's a good one.
The heckler, true. The heckler returns.
Nothing wrong with that.
He's back. Heckler's house.
Love you, Roddy.
So I don't know.
Dude, I think they're going to have to just set them both up. Set up those... you know, those... If you guys remember those sets where they would set up for the Piper's pit and like Adrian Adonis's the flower shop and... The barber shop with, remember?
Oh, yeah, of course. Bruce
yeah,
DK.
Yeah, that's type of stuff. You can watch it on YouTube. And they have them face off against each other and just see which one the fans like more or how the ratings do.
The heckler is...
Springer's all about money.
The heckler is not popular. You keep bringing up Springer. You keep evoking Springer. I got to tell you.
Just because he's not in hiding doesn't mean he's not running stuff behind
the scenes. I get
the
impression that Gwynn's really running the law in this capacity. Mm-hmm. Now his partner has been made the head of security. No, for real. And now we have a situation where, you know, returned from the dead, the director of operations, Henry Winkler, is really the acting commissioner and president in any way, shape, or form right now.
Right. Well, I'm hearing Ross Perot is in healing. And
Of course.
And the other thing I want to tell you about that tape I had a few episodes ago, and I promised you guys I would tell you that. That is Tattoo sabotaging Ross Perot's plane.
Again, tabloid journalism.
I'm just telling you, I got it on tape, man. I'm telling you, don't underestimate Tattoo. He's down there. Beaver fought him in down there. And Vicky came to the ring with him, and so did Ritter. And Beaver scored an upset over...
Beaver Cleaver.
Yes, Beaver Cleaver.
He's not a Muslim now?
No.
Like his father?
No, not at all. It has nothing to do with his father. He's moved out to parts unknown. But... that's a pretty interesting match. And then Seth Green and Eddie Munster came out. They were kind of waving the banner, so to speak, for Bud Bundy. Down in another territory. I know we went over it.
And this has nothing to do with wrestling. It's sad.
Well, listen.
This is what you spend your time with as a tabloid journalist.
I'm trying to tell you that though there's an NWA and a WWF and a WCW and AWA and a World Class, and you know, it's what competition spurs market growth, and when something...
If Ross Perot owns everything, what is the real competition and what is the market growth? Because what you're looking at is kind of like
he doesn't,
the TV obviously. Dad Wrestling Federation is...
The Caribbean Wrestling Alliance is its own independent
You said
company.
It was funded by someone.
But they... Yes, I haven't revealed who that is yet.
Because you don't know. And I'm telling you that I think that it's Ross Perot who has his hand in everything. This guy's wealthy. He took this whole thing over previously from the Fox Network, and that's where we're at.
Well, we'll see how it works out. But either way, our World Heavyweight Championships are honored and defended on these programs.
Which makes me believe definitively that this is Ross Perot at the helm.
Well, if this guy Grady is calling out Fred Sanford right at the end of the pay-per-view when it goes off, screaming his lungs out at the guy, and openly acknowledging TV Dad Wrestling Federation, we're not like those promotions where they don't acknowledge other promotions exist. We actually do talk
about
it.
Well, it's a massive wrestling universe. We understand it completely.
Yeah, but there's a lot of times where they don't. They act like Andre the Giant doesn't exist. You know what I mean? How can you?
And I'll tell you, you're actually incorrect in your assessment, because if you remember correctly in your wrestling history, that, by the way, you're very well versed in, Andre the Giant was one of the first athletes to ever go from promotion to promotion. And so when you say Andre the Giant doesn't exist, perhaps you should use a different example.
Because that guy existed in
all and every part of the country.
Yes, and so did Dusty, the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes.
Not really.
Yes, he did.
Not to the same extent. The first athlete ever was brought over here.
Uncle Dream did.
And you have a giant. Okay. You have a giant sitting here, and he has to compete, and they just sent him off everywhere.
At some point in the 1980s and 90s is what I'm saying. At some point, they stopped acknowledging.
You can't just invent at some point.
They did, man. Like, did you ever notice when you're watching WWF, they never talked about who was going on in NWA? And you ever talk about NWA? They never talked about what was going on in WWF and AWA.
Gimbels doesn't tell Macy's. I understand that.
Yeah, I get it. But I'm saying that it's still like it's in the wrestling magazines that you're reading, the app, you know, and stuff.
And you know, it always comes back to you using this broadcast to advertise that tabloid rag that you work for.
You work for
Pro Wrestling Illustrated. We know this. And no matter what you say and no matter what you do, fundamentally it returns to,
oh, well, it's about the wrestling magazines.
Absolutely,
they're quite
man.
Massive.
Kayfabe, man.
I work for Pro Wrestling Illustrated, which is superior to anything the TV
absolutely
does.
Right, because it's unbiased.
It is biased.
It's
frankly
it covers it as a sport.
No.
You get a top, when you look in the back, you get a top 10. I wish I'd been around with this stuff, man, and writing that stuff, man. That was so good. You know, you get a world top 10, man. Like the guy from Japan, the guy from, you know, Puerto Rico, the guy from America, the guy from Chicago, the guy, you know what I mean? Like, it's the world tag team.
And I get additionally,
they're
like,
different tag teams too.
I love Pro Wrestling Illustrated. Okay, man. It's the greatest magazine.
Why was wrestling more successful during that period then? Tell me that.
How dare you? How dare you speak ill of the TV Dads Wrestling Federation?
I'm not.
We have such world-famous actors as the First Bishop of Wrestling, who was in Return of the Jedi, for God's sake. He's world-famous. He's been everywhere. He was the shark in Jaws. And this gentleman has joined the Federation and works accordingly in tandem with us. He gives us microphones from the goodness of his heart that say BSC on the side of them, because you had us destroyed because we were down at the ringside. And then Corporal Punishment comes and he's throwing fire because Pat Morita would knock it out of the ring. And we lose weeks.
You know,
we lose weeks. We didn't cover 605. We couldn't get there. All this stuff happened. Couldn't even involve it in our recording.
Is that Brady lathering, oiling down, massaging Hasselhoff? Or, oh, no, I'm sorry. No, that's just
And with that, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to end episode number 25 of the TV Dads Wrestling Podcast.
Fuck?
My name is VexX, along with Mr. Johnny Zero.
People Zero.
And thank you for listening. We are in the Loud and Loaded Network. We have a Facebook page. Please go follow. Please like it. And stay frosty.